Today's WBFO brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
New York State's crackdown on illegal cannabis shops appears to be making headway, with over 1,000 now shut down. The majority of the closures have taken place in New York City, where a multi-agency task force has padlocked 779 illegal cannabis retail operations. Officials say the effort has resulted in a 72% increase in sales for licensed cannabis shops in New York City. As for the remainder of the state, 230 illegal stores have been shut down. The crackdown followed the passage earlier this year of the state budget, which included special enforcement powers aimed at illegal cannabis shops. There are some changes coming to the region's federal court. WBFO's Holly Kirkpatrick reports.
Meredith Vacker's confirmation as judge to the region's federal court makes her the first Asian American and woman of color to serve on the district's bench. The Rochester area native is a graduate of the University at Buffalo School of Law and served as assistant district attorney in Monroe County for over a decade before taking on the role of Monroe County judge in 2021 and then as acting New York State Supreme Court judge. Vacker was put forward for the role by Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, who said Vacker's confirmation was a historic moment for Western New York. Holly Kirkpatrick, WBFO News.
And a local foundation is boosting the efforts of a City of Buffalo facility that helps families experiencing homelessness. The James H. Cummings Foundation is granting $250,000 to the Salvation Army's Hope on Main Emergency Shelter. A convicted sex offender wanted by police in Indiana is now in the Erie County Holding Center. 48-year-old Michael Wayne Gordon was driving a pickup truck hauling an amusement ride to the Erie County Fair when he was stopped by West Seneca police. When Gordon was unable to produce a driver's license, he provided police with a false name and date of birth. An ensuing investigation determined he had been convicted twice of child molestation and was wanted for failing to appear at a hearing in Indiana. A Buffalo man will spend 12 years in prison after pleading guilty to rape in the first degree. Erie County District Attorney's Office says 25-year-old Tamari Love was armed with a knife when he forcibly engaged in sexual intercourse with a victim at a Buffalo residence in March of 2022. He was linked to the crime through DNA evidence. Love will be required to register as a sex offender, and his sentence includes 15 years of post-release supervision. And local sales tax collections throughout New York State showed moderate second quarter growth. According to the state comptroller's office, during the months April through June, local governments collected $5.83 billion in sales taxes, an increase of 2.2% over last year. The regional performances showed scattered results as Erie County enjoyed 3.7% growth and Niagara County saw an increase of 1.5%. Meanwhile, Cattaraugus County dropped by 1.1%, and the steepest decline of any county in New York State was experienced in Allegheny County with a drop of 10.1%.
This WBFO Brief podcast is made possible by Canisius University, where high-flying grifts find a top-flight education. For the last 8 years, Canisius has been recognized on U.S. News' list of best colleges and universities. Learn more at canisius.edu.
A father and son face terrorism-related charges after police say they foiled what they call a serious violent attack aimed at Toronto. Correspondent Dan Karpinchuk reports.
62-year-old Ahmed Aididi and his 26-year-old son Mustafa face 9 charges. They include conspiracy to commit murder, participation in a terrorist group, and possession of weapons. Police seized an axe and a machete. Police say the two suspects were in the advanced stages of planning a violent attack, the exact nature of which is under a publication ban. But court documents allege they were conspiring to commit murder for the benefit or at the direction of the Islamic State. RCMP Superintendent James Parr says the fast-moving investigation only began in July, and police had to move quickly to make the arrests.
We're pretty confident how close they were to moving from simply having those tools and then moving on to actioning that threat. And so I couldn't tell you 6 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours. But once again, what I'll say is because of the swift nature of all of law enforcement, our partner agencies on this, we were able to halt that threat, but it was close.
Both men are Canadian citizens and residents of Toronto. Neither was known to police. Parr would not say what led police to begin their investigation. Police also say there were allegations that the father, Ahmed Aididi, committed an assault for the benefit of the terror group ISIS in 2015, somewhere outside Canada. For WBFO News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto on the Canadian Beat.
Last Friday, workers were putting some finishing touches on the repaving project for North Tonawanda's Oliver Street. The fresh look seemed appropriate for an area that's on the uncertain journey towards revitalization. Oliver Street was historically known for what some claimed was a record-setting number of bars and taverns. Now new businesses are finding their way to the neighborhood, and that'll be on display this Saturday for the 9th annual Oliver Street Art Festival. To find out more, we went to the gallery Project 308 to talk to its proprietor and festival organizer, Natalie Brown.
So, yeah. How about the Oliver Street Art Festival? Is there something about it that you'd say gives it its own special niche, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, definitely. I actually live in the neighborhood, and then I run a business in the neighborhood. So I've been part of the Oliver Street Merchants Association for that time period as well, for about a decade. They're really awesome if you want to look them up. And they do different community-centric things right on the street. I don't know if you're familiar with Oliver Street, but it kind of has a...
I always remember it's I know. I was wondering if it was like an urban myth about the number of taverns.
No, that was real.
That
not
was
anymore,
real?
But not anymore. But that was a thing.
It was, yeah.
And it was kind of like a hub for the city for a long time, but then it just really went downhill, and it was really hard to like bring it back. But we call it the slowest comeback in history in our group. But the group consists of myself and Gabby from the vegan grocery store, and there's a coffee shop across the street. Like, every storefront is filled on our block. But the Oliver Street Art Festival is kind of my way of bringing the arts.
That coffee shop across the street, Little Blackheart Coffee, was standing room only Friday morning as they made specialized drinks and served up zucchini bread and other snacks from the vegan grocery store. Most of the buildings along Oliver Street are old, but seem to be finding sparks of new life, like at 308 Oliver, where Natalie Brown opened for business in 2012 as a 20-something art curator.
But when I first started, I was going for art history as my major in grad school, and I knew a lot of artists going for their MFA, and they didn't have anywhere to show. So they're just friends of mine, and then my family owns this building, but it was in total disrepair. So as part of like my grad school thesis, I started just painting and knocking down walls and all types of stuff. And then we had a bunch of art shows of all students.
Yeah.
And then, so it, I had no intention of keeping it going. I was just doing it for fun.
Right.
And then people loved it so much, and it's just been going and going.
I love so much of this building. It's so cool.
Yeah, thank you. I did a lot of it. I could send you pictures. Like, the ceiling was covered with a drop ceiling, so I tore that all down, and I painted the whole ceiling gold.
Okay.
I was on a scaffold by myself. I was kind of losing my mind a little. And then all the walls were covered in all this wood paneling from the 70s and 80s. Mm. It was scary. So I took all that down. Kind of just brought it all back to its roots. You
yeah.
know? So
yeah.
I was fearless back then.
So I was wondering if you were one of those young people who was thinking of moving away.
I was the opposite. I would get upset, not upset, but I always believed that I saw so many of my students that I went to school with, leaving, going to Colorado, going to cool places, New York City. And I was like, if everybody keeps leaving, this isn't going to work out. I think I had a small moment where I thought I could go to New York City when I was like 20 years old. But once I saw that all these young people were leaving the area, I felt like compelled to stay here and work on things.
So, really?
Yeah.
So you felt like a sense of responsibility.
I did, yeah.
Wow.
For sure.
So, and there was probably, like you said, COVID was probably a really difficult time for a gallery.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's that sense that sense of purpose. You're just going to keep pushing on,
yeah,
no matter what, because you believe in this mission, it sounds like.
Yeah, and I think, absolutely, I believe in the mission. I think that the arts can heal. I think the arts can change communities. And I also love the people in Western New York. All my family's here. The artists are amazing, and I feel like you can do anything easily, like the art festival. I was so young, and I just kind of was like, I want to do this, and I requested a permit, and they were like, sure. So it's kind of just easier. It's more accessible and affordable, so I just always loved it here.
Natalie Brown is balancing four jobs, including the business she's partnering in, Plaque Art Plus. Providing a counterbalance to that optimistic energy and commitment is a nearby house that swapped out its front curtain with a flag offering a vulgar message for President Biden. But Oliver Street isn't going back to another time. Its future path may be guided by light provided by the arts. And a slice of it awaits this Saturday from 11 until 5 with the Oliver Street Art Festival, where Natalie Brown assures first-time visitors there will be plenty of on-street parking in the surrounding neighborhood.
Yeah, so this is the 9th year I've done that. And it's right on this street. The gallery is like the home base, the bathroom, and you can, we have beer samples in here from Flying Bison. They do that every year.
Okay.
We'll do a stage right there, and we'll have live music. It's one block long. It's shanked to Robinson Street.
You get to close down the street, though.
Yeah, we close down the street. Great. Yeah. And then we get, it started with like 50 artist vendors. Now I'm close to like 80 this year.
Natalie, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
This is great.
Yeah, good, good.
So cool.
Yeah.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.